Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958, Chris and Case.
Hey, hi-de-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 247. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, The Riz. How you doing, buddy?
It is good to be with you today. I'm happy that we're doing this live because I did a live stream earlier today, and I did it for my daughter's basketball practice, and I was out in my car so you wouldn't hear basketball dribbling.
I didn't realize
that I was hooked up to the Wi-Fi of the facility, so I kept bouncing in and out. Thankfully, people got to me and like, hey, dude, shut your Wi-Fi off. So I did that, and it wound up being half good and half bad. But we're going to do a full take tonight, and I'm good. I'm sitting at home.
Yeah.
You might see a black cat run behind me, but other than that, we're good.
Meow. Yeah, we are definitely going deep today. We got a lot to talk about. We'll do a quick chat about the Bucks game. Sorry we couldn't do a post-game show for you guys. Had the lack of a co-host this time.
Hey, you know what? You didn't miss. That game was apathetic. I don't blame anybody who turned that off. I'll admit it. I cover the team. I watched the end of the Titans-Texans game. That was a lot more fun.
I did watch the game. I'll tell you, though, I was depressed the whole day. And I know better, but I was just it just hurt, and it shouldn't happen.
It was awful. They haven't been beat that badly by a team that's not that good by a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a while since they got smoked by it. I mean,
it's Tampa a long seven, way. It's
they're long seven way and seven. I mean, but do you really think that Tampa is 7-7? I mean,
no.
I mean, they are playing well. Jameis Winston became the second quarterback, the first quarterback since Billy Volek.
Wait.
In 2004.
I just remember.
To throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in consecutive games.
I just remember. We're still doing the intro. Hold on. Hold that thought. We'll talk about Quintricia. They're on board for 2020. That's pretty good news today. We got Martha. Martha comes down hard, says no sale. Lions Pro Bowl announcements just hot off the presses. We'll hit those as well. We're going to look ahead to the game against the Broncos and a whole lot more. Got a great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. Let's get a couple of quick announcements first. Check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
You're always so good at that, brother. We got Dylan. We got Mathis, the very first donor, and Brian Burkheiser from iProvailIProvailBand.com. Still rolling around here and there on tour, looking good wherever they go. He's actually resting his vocals right now, his chords. He went hard, and he's getting a little break. Well-deserved
they
break.
They got a new tour announced. They just announced it. I don't remember who it's with, and that's shame on me for bringing that up without knowing it. But I know they're going on tour with like two or three other bands, and it looks like a really cool band.
Okay, I'm going to look it up, and I'll see where they're going to be here. Did you know when it starts? Because I know he needs a break.
It's like April or May.
Okay, that's good. Good for him. Good for him. All right. We'll be on that. We'll let you know. Join the Slack with them, or join the Patreon group with them. You get into the Slack with Riz, myself, Wisco, the unfunniest man on the earth, and plenty of other people. It's the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. And I tell you, right now, that's a super, super low bar, but it really is. Even on game day, when things are the way they are, it's good, honest, straight talk, no BS, but they're a great group of guys. Even Wisco, as much as I bust.
There's a lot less professional negativity on there, and I appreciate that. As somebody who has to deal with that on a minute-by-minute basis for most of my life, it's very nice to have people who are at least open-minded that not everything has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of tired that sleep doesn't fix, right? this is something that's whatever. But there's a great group of guys there. Join the Patreon. You'll get access to the Slack. You'll get early information about other things. Patreon.com, Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as a dollar a month donation gets you in, and you can join and have some fun with us. Give us a like on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Follow us on Instagram. We have no posts. That's why you want to follow us. Biggest no post account on Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. And of course on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. It's the place where Jeff always hangs out.
as I am now with no pants.
That's right. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Rate us iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora. Now we're at Pandora. We're everywhere. We're everywhere, really? My friend. Yeah. You find us, you get us to give us those reviews, and we thank you all for reviewing us, giving those 5 stars. Those are forever, and that means a lot. Just like your love. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. Call on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and you get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And it's been fun and exciting. I think first thing, we'll talk about the Bucks game. We covered half of that in the intro, so we may not have a whole lot more to chat.
That's my bad. I'm disorganized, man. It's been a long, long couple of days.
Yeah, I bet. Like I said, I'm not even joking, man. The work thing on top of everything going on, it is the type of tired that sleep can't fix.
Yeah.
But we're almost to a break, almost to a holiday. So let's talk about it. Let's... you were talking about the amazing amount of yards that Jameis Winston, interception machine of the NFL, got.
Did he throw any interceptions, Chris?
He did. I was right. I said, that was my first cut on the thing. I said, Jameis Winston, we are going to get an interception off of Jameis Winston. Boom. There it was. First drive, right? And was I also right that they are not spending a lot of time on the field offense? I mean, it was going to be a game of whose defense, you know, wore out fastest, because we didn't have an offense that's going to stay on the field. Their offense either throws interceptions or gives the big play, so they're not spending a whole lot of time on the field either. So it gets to be a weird kind of game, weird kind of game. Any takeaways? Do we have our backup in David Blough?
You know what?
This or is there a quarterback controversy? Do we have a starter?
This was the Blough that your mama warned you about. This was the Blough that was why he was at the Shrine Game and not the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
this is why he was at Purdue and not Texas A&M or, you know, Michigan. He looks where he's going to throw the ball before he throws it, and it was really bad. And I'll say the worst incident wasn't even one of the interceptions. It was a screen pass where he damn near got Ty Johnson killed because nobody bought it. Right. And there were three defenders there before Johnson caught the ball. It wasn't blocked well either. And that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
But Blough's eye discipline is awful.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse the more he plays. And that's concerning, because when he first came on, he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that you still have to like about David Blough, but he is a backup. And I think one of the things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks is, why are we watching these games? We are watching to see what we've got for 2020 and beyond.
Yep.
Is David Blough our backup quarterback? He needs to prove that. He needs one good game in the last two.
Yeah.
Denver's a tough one because Denver's got some defense.
Yeah, they do.
And you know Green Bay does too, but I am still optimistic that he will be around as a number two, and you don't have to worry about that position, because he has shown the ability to make things happen. He throws a good ball. He will attack down the field. He's not afraid.
He's not going to break your cap.
He's got poise. that too. There's something there. It's certainly not starter quality, but they have done worse.
The thing about David Blough that I like, and it has nothing to do with his football, it's from the Shrine Game last year when we were there. I was in the NFL suite. You were in the press suite. We were waving at each other across the stadium. We were family down and to the left. And every time they announced his name, every time he did something, they were up and cheering. It was really, I mean, it's one of those things where you see a kid who is he's done this in college. He's shooting to get to the NFL, and they're supporting him 110%. I got a kid that lives near me whose parents, he's just committed to Georgia Tech. He's signing here in the next week. He's going to be the punter there. Yeah, good kid, smart kid, great family.
Right, signing day is tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah. Wednesday?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's great kid, great family, great support system. It's good to see that kind of stuff. And to see Blough's family supporting him, it's like you can't help but to root for this kid. You know what I mean? He's not a superstar quarterback, at least not right now. Is he going to be? Yeah, me, probably not. Is he going to be a solid backup? there's a role for him. I think that's where he's going to find his role. He could be an Orlovsky kind of guy over the long haul. Just please stay out of the, stay in the end zone. Don't run out of bounds. But he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I'd love to see him develop into a solid backup so we don't have to think about it. Do you think he'll ever be a Sean Hill?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Remember, Sean Hill legitimately beat out Alex Smith for the starting job in San Francisco before he came to Detroit. And they sort of exiled him because they didn't want him around and acknowledging that he's better than Alex Smith.
But Blau might be throwing the ball as a starter in Cincinnati right now if he was still there, right?
And that very well could be.
Move on. Move on. All right, so Bucks game stunk. My buddy Perrier Poppy sent me this guy's cool as hell, man. He flies from Atlanta for every Lions home game. He has season tickets, and he's suffering this year, right? It hurts. He's invested. He goes and spends his money, does it, but he sent me a picture of the Bucks fans crowded in the corner doing a chant at the end of the game. Didn't hear it on TV though, so it didn't totally get me back. But I regret doing the Lions chant on the Bucks sideline now because the Jets, the Dallas, it's just been horrible, man. I feel like I've been paid back in spades. Please stop, people. So that's it. We lost to the Bucks. Man. We saw a lot of players get injured. We saw half our roster is injured.
Oh my god!
Half the starting roster is injured right now, and that's insane. It is all about, as we said on the show a couple times, it's live fire preseason. You're evaluating what you have. This is actually beneficial for Bob Quinn and the rest of the front office and the scouts to evaluate who we have and what we need going into next year. Teams don't often get to do this and get this level of depth working in live fire to see what they have.
And for guys like Wes Hills and Bo Scarborough, hopefully he can come back because he's hurt too. Yeah. It's a chance for them to prove that they can be part of the team. It's a chance for guys like Amani Oruwariye to prove that he can be a starter.
Yeah.
You know, what can you do against Cortland Sutton in the next game? What can you do in the final game against Green Bay? Guys that you're going to see a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they're Marquez Valdez-Scantling, they have some talent there. Devontae Adams. It's for guys like him, guys like Will Harris, to prove that he can actually do something positive on an NFL football field, which would be nice to see because he hasn't done it in weeks.
Yeah, and you know, him because he's not got a supporting cast to lean on, right? It's all him right now. So
yeah, and you know, it's a chance for us to see Bo Benschowl, everybody's favorite UDFA.
Yeah.
who's continues
thank you for
to be
his
the,
name.
He is the only healthy scratch every week. That should probably tell you what his future is like, but he should at least get a shot.
Yeah.
We know what Ode Abushi is. He ain't it.
Right.
Let's see if Bo can do something.
I have hope. Aruwariye. God, I will. I know.
We got some tough names on this team.
Aruwariye. Like, I got it. I can like, say this damn name.
I know. When I covered the Texans, they had like six guys that had apostrophes in their name.
Oh, God.
I'm like, what the?
You give me an apostrophe and a hyphen and I'm done, right? I just happened.
Yeah.
Ed, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Aruwariye. This guy is, he's had some flashes of great. He's had some flashes of not so great. he looks like an NFL first year cornerback. Is what he looks like.
That's exactly right.
And he's getting reps now. They're going to be so valuable for his development. He may not look like a superstar, but this is where he's getting a lot of development. I would love to hear about him doing something like Slay did with Woodson in the offseason, right? Find a mentor like that and go work and grow and come back, because Slay's last year is next year. He's playing for a contract, so he's going to be playing hard. Right? Unless he holds out, but I can't see
him. We assume so.
Yeah. I mean, we got to assume he's playing hard because he's playing for the last big hunk of money. If that's the case, and Aruwariye starts, I can't even do it. I can't. Aruwariye comes back.
Aruwariye.
I know how to
say it. Just say it fast. Aruwariye.
Amani is.
A-O.
It's that dog thing. Amani is a guy that, boy, if he comes in next year and Slay is playing for a contract and plays out of his shoes, we could have a really, really good duo. Yep. But it's gonna take a lot. These reps are invaluable. We'll see what happens.
Can I say this about Aruwariye?
You can say his
as
name
somebody who, just rub my as face. As somebody who watches every snap of his and of Greedy Williams, Aruwariye is better than Greedy Williams this year. 100% on that.
Yeah.
He has been better than Greedy Williams, who went in the second round and was Cleveland's first round pick, and who is fucking soft.
Yeah. We talked about him. We talked about him in the lead up to the draft, right? And we're not high on him. But in the Slack, you've talked regularly about Greedy Williams' performance.
what's really bad for that is he came out in like the first, I think it was the first 2 weeks. He was pretty good, and he got hurt. He hurt his hamstring, and he missed practice, and it shows. There's still an arrow pointing up for him, but he's among many problems that the Browns have too.
Yep. All right, we're getting some questions.
I'll bump on that team later.
We're getting some questions in the chat. I'm gonna pop a couple to you here real quick. We're gonna get into some draft stuff in a little bit, guys. If you want to hold those questions in the chat or do your calls when we talk about that, what we'd love is if we can try to stay on topic through, and then maybe at the end do like an open question period as we walk through some of these.
Chris needs to guide that because, as you know, my mind goes. I go tangent, and we'll wind up talking about
the Bucks in the intro.
We'll wind up talking about Woodstock 99 or something, and we don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, maybe. All right, so let's we'll keep going. Big news today. Bob Quinn, Matt Patricia are on for the 2020 season. They're locked in, and it sounds like they've got to get rid of a couple assistants, though. Martha pointed.
Not enumerated who those assistants are, but I think we have a pretty good idea that Paul Pasqualoni and John Bonamigo are going bye-bye.
Yes, and Daryl Bevel will be back, which is really something to have him back with a healthy staff.
Yes.
And for a second year.
And to poke into what we are doing at Lions Wire, Eric Schlitt and I were talking, and I was running around all afternoon. They dropped that announcement about 5 minutes before I had to go pick up my daughter and run her 45 minutes to basketball practice, so I was scrambling all over the place. He's sending me messages and he's like, Bevel's back. That's probably the best news of the day. And I'm like, I kind of blew it off at the moment, but the more I've been thinking about it over the last 3 or 4 hours, I'm like, that is good. That's good news.
The staff could have a hell of a year next year. He really could with Bevel back, second year in the system. Who knows what we're looking at wide receiver, right? We know we got Galladay. Marvin.
Galladay will be back.
Marvin be back.
Hall will be back.
Yeah. Isn't,
if he's
don't
healthy.
We have Jones? Don't we have Marvin one more year?
On contract? He is under contract.
Yeah. Okay. So if he's still got something, he looked good until he got injured.
I think that's still a question, but that's my opinion. That's not coming from the team. That's my thought is that I won't say that I don't think he'll be back, but I would be surprised if he's back. How's that?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. We definitely need, if he's gone, we definitely need an upgrade. And I'll say it again. I think it was when I did this with Case. So if I say it to you a second time, I apologize. Danny Amendola has outspanned expectations this year by about 10 miles. We figured he was going to be injured by week 4 and up until week 4, he's going to be great. And then we weren't going to see him. He's been out there grinding and playing hard. And
he's been really good for Blau.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Danny Amendola. Thank you. Thank you for a bright spot.
Thank you
really
for
dark year.
I think it's 21 yards from his career high in receiving yards, which is awesome because I did not expect that out of him.
No,
it's been a very pleasant surprise. He brings a toughness. He blocks like a mother.
Yeah.
It's cool to see.
He's a guy that's going to coach, I bet. I bet he coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he looks for greener pastures elsewhere, but I wouldn't mind having him back at 35 years old.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right, so Quinn and Patricia back. I expected this, right? And a lot of people are angry.
Yes.
I just think that if you go on a 2-year cycle on coaches, you're never going to get good talent. You're never going to inspire somebody who's a winner to come here because it takes time to bring a system in.
You're always changing systems. And what you're talking about getting good coaches in and general managers in.
Yeah.
Because if they see that you've got a 2-year burn rate, they're going to be like, what other jobs are open?
Right.
Is there anywhere else I can go so I don't have to worry about that and worry about a potential ownership change whacking me or something like that? And that got resolved today too, which is good news. Yeah. But we won't get to that yet. Yeah. I'm staying on topic.
Stay with me, Riz. So what do you think? How you feel? I mean, a third year. Look, this could go wrong. It very well could go wrong and be a bad deal. But it's something that the team, from a organizational standpoint, has to do just so they get better shot with the next one. And I think Quinn and Patricia are invariably tied together.
Yes, 100%.
If they go, we start out again. And this is the one thing I want to ask you, because this is something, you know, when you ask folks this in the various conversations and discussions, no one really has a good answer. They're like, well, that's not my job to know, right? But we need a different one. We need to fire Quinn. Who's the GM that you replace him with? Okay. And this is going to be the scenario that I'm going to present you with. You're not going to get a proven successful GM. They don't leave. They don't let them go. They stay hired and they get paid. It's not like there's a free agency period or a contract period. Those guys stay in successful places when they're successful, period, end of story. So yes. You wind up doing what? Well, you bring someone like Ernie Accorsi from the NFL and you do a hunt and you find the very, very best and brightest of the possibles of GMs and you bring them in. And we did that. And if that doesn't work, how do you find a GD GM? And the other thing, I just got to use this because I've got this drop that I built just for this. The other part is if you fire coaches every 2 years,
you get what you fucking deserve.
A little cut from the Joker. Sorry, I wanted to use that.
If you fire your coaches every couple of years, you're the Cleveland Browns. Don't be the Cleveland Browns. Be better than that.
Yeah.
Aspire to be better than that. My take with them coming back, I would have been shocked if they weren't returning. And I talked about this in my ill-fated live session on Twitter. Ill-fated. they had a bad year. It has not been a good year. It's the way that Patricia has run the defense has been awful. And he's a defensive mastermind, and he has screwed it up. They are underperforming relative to their talent, even with the injuries. They are still not playing. There's a lot better talent on that field than there is to give up the franchise record. If you go back to the franchise record in yards came in the winless season. None of those guys outside of Cliff Averill ever played again.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a Pro Bowler on this defense. There are two other guys who probably could make a Pro Bowl. There are several other talented players on that defense who are not playing as well as they could or should because of the way they're coached or the scheme. I am hopeful that Matt Patricia realizes the sin and the error of his ways. It's not excusable what they've done this year, but it's not also fireable because I think you have to. One of the things is that they are so tailored personnel-wise to the guys that they have to Patricia that if you bring somebody else in, say you bring Jim Schwartz back just on the lark, Philadelphia fans would love to fire Jim Schwartz. That was actually trending on during the Eagles game Sunday because he's doing such a bad job because he still hasn't figured out that you don't run zero coverage on a blitz on third and one, and they got burned for two touchdowns on that. He's never learned, which probably refutes my next point that I expect Matt Patricia to learn from his mistakes. He did it with Daryl Bevel last year.
He did it with the press this year.
Yes, he did. And I thank you for bringing that up because I hadn't brought that up earlier. He is a much different person around. He's on time for meetings. He's early for his press conferences. Yeah. He treats reporters with respect. He looks us in the eye. I haven't been there since Halloween. But when I was there, he looked us in the eye. He addresses you. When he is answering your question, he's looking at you. He's not looking general. No, there's a level of more familiarity, more comfort. Mm-hmm. That's a sign of respect for people who do what I do. And I certainly am going to appreciate that because I've been in situations where that is not the case. Jim Caldwell did not appreciate the media. It was the dungeon of doom. He hated doing those things.
Yeah.
Patricia doesn't like it. You know he doesn't like it. That he gives cliched answers, but sure. at least he's putting forth the effort for it. And I think you've seen a lot of the players, especially when the getting was good early in the season, who were, you saw him smiling a lot more around the players. Yeah. Just not like not in the in-game context, but like in practice and like joking with guys between reps in practice.
Yep.
He was much more at ease. And that doesn't show to the outside world, but that's not the type of thing that gets built overnight.
Yeah.
And especially for a guy like him, from what I gather off the field, he's very polite and friendly, but not outgoing and not a guy who's going to seek attention. Mm-hmm. And you know, people like that, it takes a little while to crack that shell.
Yeah.
And if you're a player around that, I think there's some comfort level there. And I think I saw personally the players warming up to that.
Let me ask
again, I haven't been there since the losing's been real bad, but
right.
My experience earlier in the year was that.
Let me ask you something, because you talked about, and this is Nick in the chat's asking about this too. Talking about Patricia running the defense, and I know it's his defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we know also last year, and I'm proud to be the one who pointed out that Jim Bob Cooter was running that offense because absolutely Matt Patricia was running the defense. Now what I've seen when I've watched the games, Matt is still coaching guys on defense, but he doesn't seem to be running the defense. It feels like he's turned it over to Pauly P, and Pauly P is either, look, he's either out rocket scientisted at it because, and I've made it a word up, but because I've heard a lot of guys talking about how convoluted and difficult the defense is, right? It's a very difficult defense and scheme to master is what I've heard a lot of. Is that true? I don't know yet, right? I don't have an opinion yet, but did Pasqualini out rocket science the rocket scientist, or is he just not coaching it right on the defensive side of the ball? And I want to start there because I guess the first question is Patricia really running this defense, or is it Pasqualini?
I think it is more of in game. I think it's Pasqualini, because I do think that you're seeing Patricia more head coaching during the game. I think it is during the week. I strongly believe, and during game plan implementation and walkthroughs, it's Patricia running it. I think Pasqualini handles more of the situational substitution, the down and distance packages and things like that, making sure that the right guys are on the field. I think that is Pasqualini. Sure. But in terms of overarching scheme, it's very, very heavy Matt Patricia.
Yep. Now let me ask this, because, and there's a couple, this has come in a couple different ways in the chat as well, right? People are talking about Bob Quinn in his first year drafting for Coach Caldwell. I want to feel a little bit like Bob Quinn knew Matt Patricia was coming, and he tempered some of those picks with Caldwell's input, right? He had to keep the coach, you know, on board. He couldn't just completely tell him to pound sand, because you have to have a relationship with your coach as a GM, right? And you can't turn the place upside down in your first year. So the question is did he draft Caldwell players, or did he draft Patricia players in that first year as a GM? If he drafted Caldwell players, does that help explain guys that aren't fitting in the mix? So it would it be
so awesome the first the first year was Taylor Decker. Right, that was that was Decker, and then who was the second round?
You're trying.
Let me look it up.
Sure,
Decker was a necessary evil.
Absolutely.
Because they did not have a left tackle at the time,
and that was obvious, like a long term kind of strategy for him to invest in that offensive line. We've seen it through the Wagner signing. We've seen it with the Ragnow signing.
Yeah, with Ragnow with yep. Graham Glasgow was in the third round of that draft.
Yep.
Okay. Oh yeah, I remember this now. Yeah, because we in the Lions coverage knew they were going offensive line. We didn't know if it was going to be Ryan Kelly, the center, who's now with the Colts, or Taylor Decker.
Yep.
Scroll down here. Second round was A'shaun.
Yeah. I loved that pick. I loved A'shaun. I love A'shaun.
You know what? That strikes me now as more of a Patricia pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Third round was Glasgow, was it not?
I believe so, yeah.
Bear with me as I scroll down here. Use my squinty old eyes. Where the hell is it? Oh, yeah, Graham Glasgow. Yep. Fourth round. I'm just glancing at some of these names along the way. Miles Killebrew. Miles Killebrew was a Caldwell pick. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. I guarantee you that was a Caldwell pick.
Yeah. I like him, but
the bullshit.
The way he plays.
He's not
perpetual special teamer.
He never got to what he needed to be.
These
guys didn't really have a Patricia. Oh, fifth round, Antoine Williams. That is definitely a Caldwell pick, because he was small. I always feel bad for him, because I thought he got off to a good start and it just didn't stick, and he never wound up sticking anywhere. I'm looking at now he only played in four games after he left Detroit. So I would say it's probably a mixed bag there. Decker, offensive line is universal. You can do whatever you want with that. He's a perfectly fine starting left tackle. Is he the best? No. Is he the worst? Hell no. There are many, many worse.
Yeah.
He is in the 10 to 15 overall range of left tackles, and you can win with that. Rick Wagner is the same on the right side.
His problem is he's gotten a good number of penalties. Two were really BS-y, but he's tied for the lead if you scrub those away. But they've just been high visibility, right? They've been at really, really tough times.
When he screws up, and this was the rep on him at Ohio State, he's great, except when he's not, and when he's not, he's awful. Mm-hmm. There's like no like average game or even average play for him. He's either really good or he's going to get his ass kicked.
Right. Right.
By the way, the NFL leader in penalties made the Pro Bowl. That's Laremy Tunsil. He's probably the best left tackle in the AFC. Penalties aren't everything, people.
I'll never forget the gas mask.
That was that draft too.
Yeah, that's a great year. That was so fun when we did the live show that year. That's it. We've got those guys. I think, you know, for better or for worse, I think that's where it's at. Now, let me ask you one question about it, and then we'll move on, okay? Because you've got a guy now, and they're starting to say, well, this is it. It's a do or die situation. They're going to go all in, right? They're going to trade for, you know, make a trade for Mitchell Trubisky and go all in and blow the cap up and, you know, whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying? You do something.
What the hell are you drinking, buddy?
Well, like the Bears went all in, right? They traded up for Mitchell Trubisky, right? I mean, they gave away a lot of treasure for that.
They did. And
left Patrick Mahomes. Anyway.
And got eliminated last weekend.
Yeah. Is this a case? Okay, so let's say that the Lions could end up in second overall draft pick. Okay,
they could.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just say Chase goes away in the first round for some reason. We're just being, you know, putting something together, and Burrow is sitting there. You got to take Burrow, right?
I can't fathom him not being number one.
I know. But what do you do? What do you do then if you're Bob Quinn, right? I mean, you've got Matthew Stafford. He's been injured.
At that point, he's
getting older. Can you sit Burrow for a year? You get him with
I have not even contemplated this fantasy. As you know, I don't do fantasy well unless it involves Faye Reagan and pudding. But
right.
It's God, Burrow's gonna be great. He's gonna be great.
Yeah. This is the thing that kills me, because this is how the Lions they're out of cycle. They've always been out of cycle when they need a coach, when they need a GM, when they need Matthew Stafford's been great. I love Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. I don't want to replace him with Burrow, but Burrow is a generational kind of talent, man.
He could be.
Yeah. I just feel like if you're at second for some reason, because it's the Bengals after all, right? He winds up in your lap. Holy cow. I mean, now can you sit him for a year and run Matthew Stafford? And what does this group do? What is your GM, who's got to go all in order to win, going to do? It's an interesting thing. So we'll see what this means.
Just thinking this out loud, and I honestly have not thought about this at all. If you take Burrow, it sets your clock back.
Yeah. Can you sit him a year?
See, I don't think that Patricia and Quinn are in position to make that kind of a move.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know. I think that at this point, my general estimation of it is that most fans have finally accepted that Stafford is not the problem anymore.
Right. Right.
Most fans realize that he's pretty freaking good, but even like the people who are like, oh, we got to trade him. He's awful. He sucks. He's the reason why we're terrible. He doesn't need to just be dumped. He needs to be flogged in public and spanked and overpaid piece of crap.
Yeah.
You don't hear that anymore. We're finally to the point where that's gone.
I hate this.
Now to give up on that would really suck.
Okay.
Man.
Okay. Now, and let me just take this. I hate to do this because, you know, I love Matthew Stafford, right? I absolutely love
him. Yes, you do.
You get Burrow. What could you get in a trade for Stafford? Especially where his contract's at right now.
Now here's the problem with that is that he's got broken back in two straight years, and his contract is both expensive and up after 2021. You're not going to get much. You're getting what Atlanta got for Matt Schaub. You're getting 2 second round picks.
In this year's draft?
You'll get one this year and one next year. From a team that would trade for Matthew Stafford. Now,
this is all just kind of playing things out. But
one of the things you have to look at is that the quarterback market this year. Look at all the teams that are around. Cincinnati definitely needs a quarterback, unless Andy Dalton somehow figures that out. I don't see that happening.
He won't. They're going to take quarterback.
Okay, Miami. Do they need a quarterback? Probably. Washington. No. The Jets. No. Who else is up there? Bad Atlanta. No. Who else is really shitty? The Giants. Giants don't. They got Daniel Jones. You're only looking at two teams that are picking in the top eight that need quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not one of those teams, it's going to be, you're either going to get what Houston did to get Deshaun Watson, moving way the hell up from the back, because they were sort of, I think they picked 20, it was 21st, it was Jabril Peppers' pick. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 21, 22. They moved up to that and sent an extra first round to get that. That's where you're at if you're going to get a quarterback, and I would be, just my guess would be that the Lions would trade the pick instead of Stafford.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
And then you would get extra first rounders, but that's fantasy land because Burrow's going number one.
Yeah.
And Chase Young should be number two.
Yeah.
The question would be, if the Lions don't finish with the number two pick, who else would go besides Chase Young at number two to the Giants? Because the Giants are really the only other team that can be number two.
Right. Miami?
Miami could be, but I think they're going to win a game.
Yeah,
I think they're winning another game.
Yeah, I agree.
And by the way, that's good for the Lions.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
That's very good.
So that's it. That's right. The first start. This is like, again, big news day. This is freshly breaking news. We want to hit some of the questions that people have been hitting pretty loud on in the Slack and on the Twitter. So we want to hit those, but we got to do a quickie here. These guys and just hang with us through this real quick.
My wife knows about these.
I'm leaving that one alone, Riz. These guys pay for us to talk to you. They want you to hear about them from us. So take a listen, help us out. Do this. And you'll be happy you did. You know, when you're getting your tickets, you're running around going to shows, whether it's to see I Prevail, whether it's to see your Lions, no matter who you're going to see, it can be a pain in the butt. Yeah, the crazy fees and everything else going on. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff, right? Who does it the best? We've told you before, it's SeatGeek. SeatGeek rocks it. I've done them. I've done the normal ticket, you know, routes. I've done some of, you know, the other people, the hubs and all that other stuff. And I the reason I like SeatGeek the most, their app is pretty good, right? I mean, that's a good one. They got tons and tons of 5-star reviews, almost like our podcast. They're at 50,000, so they'll catch up to us. but the thing that I really, really love about it is the color system, so I know what kind of deal I'm getting on the seat. You get the picture of the stadium or the concert hall or whatever. It gives you the dot where the places are. If it's red, you're not getting a good deal on those seats. Yellow, it's decent. And green is you're getting a good deal. I used it for the Lions game on Thanksgiving last year. I'm thinking real seriously about getting some tickets for the fam to go see the Wings play Tampa, the Lightning down here on the 27th or 29th. I forget. I thought maybe we could do something during the break and hang out as a fam, have some fun. But if I do it, I'm using that SeatGeek app for sure. It's the greatest way to get tickets. And I got to tell you, it's easy. And I feel good about every time I use it. Riz, have you used the app? Are you familiar with it?
We used it. My family went to the Pistons and Charlotte Hornets game a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Pistons lost, but
the seats were good. Detroit.
They were great. So we paid about, doing quick math in my head here, a little less than 60% of face value to sit in a lower bowl with very good seats.
Nice. Well, let me tell you about how SeatGeek's going to make that a better deal for you, Rizzy Riz.
Oh, please do.
Use the app. They're going to give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase right off the top.
That's a Bell's Christmas sale at LCA right there.
All you got to do is use the promo code. We got a special promo code for you. It's ours, and you can use it. You can get the great seats. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use the promo code LIONS. You know how to spell that. For $10 off on your first purchase, promo code LIONS. $10 off on your first purchase from SeatGeek. You can use tix.seatgeek.com. Tix.DetroitLionsPodcast.com will get you there, or go straight through the SeatGeek app. Great way to go, and use that promo code LIONS, get that $10 off. And it doesn't just have to be football tickets. It can be hockey, basketball, not a lot going on in baseball right now, but any concert, you go on I Prevail, see them on tour, whatever, that's how to do it. Thanks, guys, for listening in. Remember, these guys are paying to talk to you, so thanks for sticking around through that and supporting our sponsors. They mean a lot to us, and they help us do all this great stuff. All right, other big news, Martha Broke. What someone else we've been trying to take money from through a different ad that we do. Martha Ford is not selling the team. No sale gong. Bite me, Bezos, is something I think she said pretty loudly across Ford Field, and it echoed across Detroit. I may have that a little bit off, but I think I'm pretty close to what really.
You're paraphrasing. Paraphrasing.
There you go. I didn't put not quotation an exact marks quote around it. Right? This is good news. I didn't think it was happening. Yeah. It seemed like a really goofy rumor.
So it's when you own a multi-billion dollar business, and I believe the Forbes valuation for the Lions is $2.3 billion. When people have that kind of money and people think that they can buy that kind of money, they're going to ask you if you want to sell your team. This one of the reasons why Donald Trump hates the NFL was because he tried to do that to the Buffalo Bills, and they said, hey, do you have any money? And he couldn't prove that he did. They called him on it. That's why he hates the NFL. Nobody talks about that.
Was this before you interviewed him or after?
This was after. I interviewed him in 1996.
Him and who was the other guy you interviewed at the same time?
Al Davis. The late owner of the Raiders. I did my senior thesis in college on the USFL and why it failed. Jeff Perlman turned it into a book some 25 years later. And he was gracious enough to give me free copies of it and you know, talk to me about it, which was really cool because a lot of the same things he found, I found. And Donald Trump certainly, his goal was always to get in the NFL, and they have denied him several times. And that's why he hates the league.
Yeah,
didn't have anything to do with anything else. That's right. That's what it is.
Just remember, we're not political on this show.
We are not. We'll get back on focus then.
Martha is going to
get approached by rich people all the time because what do rich people want to do? They want to make more money.
I think poor people do too.
Well, I know I do. So if you've got $1 billion laying around and Jeff Bezos appears to have that in one of his yachts, then you're going to be like, hey, owning a football team seems like a pretty good idea. The values go up every year. Ratings are up 4% this year. Overall, the salary cap's going up another 6%. This season has gone up 40% in the last 5 years. You know, the revenues are flowing in. Advertising is an all-time high. It's a great time to buy in and get a business going.
And he's hooked in with the CIA, right?
You better believe that rich people are asking Martha Ford if she wants to sell the team. She's 94 years old. It's a natural question.
But you see Sheila's face showing up this today, didn't you?
Yes. And that said a lot to me that Sheila was there.
Yes. Yes.
That if you want to read between lines, they talked about having a succession plan within the family in place. Mm-hmm. That's Sheila.
and let's not, you know, mince words here. Sheila's always been there.
She has always been the child that has the most interest and the most hands-on with the team.
When you see Martha, you see Sheila. Yeah,
you do. They are in the same golf cart during training camp. Mm-hmm. Sheila knows all of the beat writers. I guarantee you none of the other children know who they are.
Yeah.
She knows every one of them by name. She has met me before. I'm fairly low on the totem pole there. She would at least recognize me. So there's that for her.
And I think her kind of stepping forward and finding a voice a little bit here as this announcement and this came forward today is, I think, very telling. It's very telling without saying a word as to.
Yes. The symbolism behind her being there and Rod Wood saying it the way that he did and saying that Bezos guy, I've met him once, but we were talking about something else. And it was very dismissive of it. Yeah. That tells me that Sheila will be the primary owner once Martha passes.
Yep.
And hopefully that's not anytime soon because I think Martha's been a damn good owner, honestly.
I love Martha.
Yep. I do not understand this outcry of sell the team. I don't get that at all. It is so freaking misplaced.
It's boomer stuff.
Shut up, boomer. But it's young people that want it. I get that.
It doesn't matter. You still say shut up, boomer, to them because that's the kind of thinking it is. All right, we got
We are Gen X, baby.
Yeah, I know. Don't call those boomers. It doesn't matter. Boomer is anybody and it can be anybody, depending on what you say. You can be a shut up, boomer. All right, we're going to do one more topic here, and then we'll open up the calls through the rest of the topics. And this one's the quick injury report. I don't know if you knew, Matthew Stafford's been hurt. And he's been he has.
Dude, really?
And they actually put him on IR now. He is boomer's a mindset, Jiggly Scrub, you're right. He won't be in.
Oh man, I can't see the chat. That ain't fair.
Oh, sorry, buddy. The things they've been saying about you have been a lot of fun. Stafford on IR. It's interesting that it's now. I thought maybe he was getting a little coaching in on Blau, but it's...
He can still do that.
Can he? Okay.
Yeah. J.J. Watt's on the sideline for every Texans game.
You're right.
He is yelling at Whitney Merciless every time he comes off the field. That is not an issue. My biggest issue with the Lions this year, number one above everything else, is the way that they have handled injuries. And that is not a Patricia issue. That's a Bob Quinn and the medical staff issue. They have fucked this up so badly this year.
Why so many?
Part of the reason is because they didn't put guys who are partially hurt, and like Stafford, like Deshaun Hand, yeah. guys who are out for 4 to 6 weeks, or you know, could have been out for 8 weeks. They kept them on the roster. That stopped healthy people from filling those spots, because you've got your game day inactives and they're all not healthy people. They're hurt. That means the guys who are playing through injuries, Frank Ragnow being an example, Graham Glasgow being another example, they can't rest. They can't get plays off. Your defensive linemen are playing more snaps than they need to because all the bench guys are hurt, but they're not on IR. That leads to more injuries. That has been a massive bugaboo of mine all freaking season, and it's come to a head with all the guys you've seen on IR. Now, it doesn't mean everything. Some of these are freak injuries. Some of these injuries happen all the time anyways. But when you are already wounded and you're out there giving your butt off every play and you don't get that rest, you don't get that rest in practice, you better believe that leaves you more vulnerable to more injuries. And that has happened this year. And that is Bob Quinn. And that is a problem. They need to learn from this. This was a massive issue this year.
Yeah,
I hope they learned from it, because they have badly mishandled the injury front this year. Stafford being a big example. And now they want to bring Kerryon Johnson back. What the fuck are you thinking?
Well, if you do that,
get what you fucking deserve.
Thank you, Joker. I love that movie. Sorry. But you do. You get what you deserve.
That is exactly where you drop in I Prevail's gasoline and burn it all down.
Oh, God, yeah.
Burn it to the ground.
Yeah, it's a great song. Great song. God. All right. Okay. From there, I got to tell you. So you heard Bezos circling four field like a buzzard, right? We talked about that. Screw that guy, right? To heck with him. You know what you can do? You can take money straight out of his pocket. And what a great thing. And this is the time of year to do it. All you got to do is go to Amazon.
Oh, look at you.
DetroitLionsPodcast.com, right? Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Any of your shopping at Amazon, it'll take you straight through. You won't even notice you went through. It sets a little cookie quick and lets them know that you sent us. And what happens is we get a little bit of that, the profit that they would have taken. It doesn't cost you anything. But all that money that would have gone to Bezos' pocket, some of it goes to our pocket. And it helps us, as you know, do the show and do all the great stuff. And it helps shoot down the buzzards over Ford Field. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It is the holiday season, so you're going and buying like crazy. Before you do, at Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and help us help you and help the Lions and keep the Fords in charge. All right, so there you go. All right, we'll have the phones open now. If you want to give us a call, we're going to do 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or you can use the Skype to do it. Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. We are going to go into a quick sneak peek on the draft, and we've got the Riz on hand here. It's early, but let's face it, there's... It's, you know, the Bucks game isn't, there's not a lot to talk about there. And finally, the Broncos game is going to give us a lot. Let's start thinking ahead. Let's start looking ahead for this team. We talked a little bit about Burrow. We talked about Chase, my man. What are we doing? What are we looking at? You go 2 through 5 is where the Lions are going to wind up, right?
So then you're looking at Andrew Thomas, who declared today, the left tackle from Georgia. He's phenomenal. He would start at one of the tackle positions and kick one of your existing tackles, probably Decker, to the right side, and probably Wagner either off the roster or into guard.
Yeah.
Probably off the roster would be my guess.
Okay.
That's a very viable pick. It's probably not the pick that a lot of people want, but you can see that. It would be Derek Brown from Auburn, defensive tackle, wrecking ball on the inside. Really, really good player. Has a unique skill set on the inside that makes him very difficult to block. If you watch the Auburn-Alabama game, he killed Alabama, and everybody on that Alabama line is going to be in the NFL.
Yep.
He killed LSU's line. He is a problem.
Yes. Okay.
He's one.
AJ Epenesa
from Iowa. Jeff Okuda, the cornerback from Ohio State.
Okuda's a big one for Ian right now in the chat.
Maybe Grant Delpit, the safety who can play corner from LSU. His stock fell a little bit because he was hurt. He gets too many targeting penalties, but he's really good.
Yeah.
That's that's probably your list of candidates that are going to be top four, top five, top six.
Okay. Okay. Let me pause real quick. We got a caller. Caller, what's your name? Have you had any? Have you joined us in the merriment this evening?
Talking to me?
Yeah, that's you. Oh, is this? I can tell already. This is Brandon.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Jeff, man, you're beginning to look like a dad of a bunch of girls, man.
So I spend from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock every weekday with 10 and 11 year old girls. So there you go.
Brandon just became a new drop.
You know, your hair is beginning to kind of look like mine, more white than.
Yep.
Oh, dude. Listen, I've asked a couple of questions on the chat, and I didn't know if you saw them or not. So I'm just going to come up with them right now.
Sure.
Jeff, I gotta know, Jeff, what, this is my first one. What is the most important defensive positional coach in this scheme? Ooh, is it linebacker? Is it defense? I mean, defensive line, or is it in the backside? You know, with the safety line, cornerbacks. I was thinking linebackers, and that's Al Golden. Do you think he's done a good enough job to keep, or is he the guy that's going to be suffering the out the door? Sorry, bub.
I think Golden will stick, and I think that's irrespective of Jared Davis and his relative lack of development, because I think they're happy with what he's done with Christian Jones and Devon Kennard and Jelani Tavai. I think Davis is his own entity, and that won't be held against Golden.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's interesting.
That's my thought.
Now, and so I feel like if I were to jump, and you can judge me as being absolutely right or only partially right, Riz. I think that the linebackers coach in this defense is the key. Now, this defense is predicated on having a good secondary, a real good secondary, and being able to cover. We don't have the players, though. I don't think this is a coaching issue this year as far as the secondary, the inability we've had to cover. I think the biggest problem we've had is the lack of rush on the line. I think that we were hoping that we would get more push, more rush generated from the linebacking core, though, and they're not, which is why I start to lean towards the linebacking pieces being so important and having underperformed, not just Jared Davis, but, I mean, Tavai's been good. He's been a rookie. He's been a good, solid rookie this year, right? But the linebacking core has not performed near where it needs to for this scheme.
No, and I think some of that is the fact that they are asked to be so passive and to read and react, and that's not – That's tough for linebackers. You want to attack. You've been an attack dog all your life. That's why when you were in eighth grade, they made you a linebacker, because you're the hitter. You're the guy that goes and you see that the running back's going to make that cut and you go destroy him. And now you have to wait because he might not be in your gap and you have to backside contain and somebody else is supposed to flush him to you. That's a tough way to exist. Well, that's a tough way to exist.
Jeff, let me ask you another question. And since you covered the Texans, what is the differences or what's the similarities to what the Romeo Crennel does down there with a similar defense?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Different.
I'm glad you asked that because Uncle Romeo is so good at figuring out what each individual player on his team does well and asking them to do that a lot. Like I'll use Bernardrick McKinney as an example. He is a little bit better than Jelani Tavai, but the way that they use him makes him a Pro Bowler because they don't ask him to do weird, superfluous stuff that he's not going to be good at like this defense does. I think Romeo has a great feel for what his guys can and can't do and steers them towards what they can do. Brennan Scarlett, as an edge rusher, he's not that good. But in Houston, because they use him the way that they do and they scheme for what he does well, he's putting up sacks. He's having a better year than Devon Kennard. He's not close to as talented of a player as Devon Kennard is, but his numbers this year say that he is, because the way that they have an attack mentality, they have an aggressive mentality, they have a trust mentality in the players that, okay, I understand that if I'm going to send Scarlett and have him do an inside loop, that McKinney will automatically realize behind him, okay, I need to take one more step to my outside, and I have to watch what the tight end is. I have to watch the back flare or not. I have to worry about the slot guy coming behind me. And that's processed for him. And I don't see that with this Lions defense. I think that they're just like, okay, we're all gonna react to what the offense is doing instead of trying to stop one thing and make them focus on something else and try to take things away. And Romeo is very good at trying to take things away. And that is not something that you see in Detroit right now.
So do you think then this is really just more of a work in progress and there's still a player or two that is just simply not there, or they haven't learned it yet? Then you can look at the Titans and you see that team is making headway, but their big difference with the Lions is they've got one heck of a running game in Derrick Henry. So that makes up for maybe what the Titans have in a lack. But, I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, they
analytically
have...
speaking, what is wrong with this team, and maybe just the lack that they simply ain't got enough personnel yet, and they might have it in this next draft because of the bad record this year.
Some might
guys,
say,
I'll go ahead and let it go at that. I'll get out of here, man.
Thank you, Brandon.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Good to talk to you.
Some might say that we are lacking Ryan Tannehill.
I would go on the other side of the ball and say we are lacking Harold Landry and we are lacking Jarrell Casey, who are really good players.
Yes.
And Adoree Jackson, before he got hurt, was probably the best slot corner in the league. And Kevin Byard should be a Pro Bowler. I don't think he was this year. I haven't looked totally at the list, but he's really good at safety too.
They
attack on defense. If you watched them play the Texans last weekend, you saw that they actually got over aggressive, and Deshaun Watson makes them pay for that because Deshaun Watson is that kind of guy. Yeah. The Lions don't have that guy on offense right now. The guy who can make you pay if you bring seven and you're throwing to Danny Amendola or probably Marvin Jones or Kenny Galladay. You're not throwing to DeAndre Hopkins. You're not throwing to Duke Johnson coming out of the backfield, who is lethal when he gets one-on-one in space.
Yep.
They don't have that guy on offense. They don't have offensively. I think the biggest thing that they're missing right now is a playmaker in space.
Yeah.
And it could be a wide receiver. And that's not to say that Kenny hasn't been great this year, because he has. He's a Pro Bowl snub. He should be there. Although when you look at the guys who made it, it's kind of hard to argue because they're all really, really good.
They are studs. Absolutely. Yep.
Amendola is your closest guy to that right now. And that's not what he does. He is the consummate check down, your number two, number three receiver, your hot guy. He is not a guy that you run plays for. And he's not a guy that you run a circle screen to, or a jet sweep, a bubble screen, a tunnel screen.
Right.
They don't have that guy. I was hoping that Ty Johnson would be that guy. I was hoping that Kerryon Johnson would be that guy. They're not. Johnson might be in time, but he hasn't shown it yet.
I'm worried about
That is the biggest need on offense right now, is that guy. A guy who can make plays in space and get into space.
Yeah.
They don't have that.
McKissick. Kerryon Johnson is really, I'm hyper nervous about him. I just don't know if he's going to be able to play a full season. It creates a need at running back that I just feel like we need it.
But that is not a need you spend a 1 or 2 day pick on. That is a day three pick. Mm-hmm. A running back in general is a day three position.
These days it is. Yes.
Yes. And again, look, I don't know if I said this on the podcast or I said it somewhere else. Look at the top running backs in the league. Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys might make the playoffs this year. Saquon Barkley, number two overall pick. They're picking number two again 2 years later. He's great, by the way. He's really good. Is it helping them win games?
Great point.
The NFL's leading rusher this year is Nick Chubb. The Browns are 6-8, and he is the only thing they got going for him.
Yep.
They don't win even when he runs for 157 yards and 3 touchdowns.
The only thing he couldn't carry is my fantasy team over the damn hump to get into playoffs. Anyway.
He's phenomenal. Look at the top running backs, Todd Gurley. Their Rams aren't making the playoffs this year. He's having a renaissance year. Derrick Henry.
Yep.
He ran for 590 yards in 4 weeks. The Titans won all four of those games. Guess where they're at? They're looking up.
Yeah.
They're not in the playoffs.
I'll tell you something really quick before the Tannehill Hail Mary for Mike Vrabel, right?
And that worked, but that was a smart move by him.
It was right when I started thinking, they may just dump on the Vrabel experiment because things were just looking so bad. It was a dumpster fire over there. People were freaking out, right? Yeah. I was like, holy crap. Yeah, we could get Vrabel as a defensive coordinator because they're going to bail on him. And you know what's really scary? Is it's now the opposite. What's going on to Detroit? In Detroit before the announcement today from Martha, I was really scared that we were going to get rid of Patricia and he was going to go to Tennessee or somewhere else score as a huge win, and we would just be standing there again, right, with our something in our hands. So okay.
So I know one of the questions that people have asked is who is going to replace Paul Pasqualoni and or any other coaches that are gone.
Yep.
I haven't gotten into that deep yet. I have a couple of names in mind, but I'm not there yet.
I was thinking a week or two from now we'd kind of cover that because it's getting closer, and I think we're going to start hearing who's available because availability is going to be a big piece of that, right?
Right, and we got to see what other head coaches get fired because some of those guys might want. I almost said head jobs.
I know what you want.
Head coaching jobs elsewhere. I am not Phil Simms. Thank you very much. He said that on air twice in a game and didn't get fined by the FCC. I don't know how that happened, but. God.
Okay, all right, let's move on.
Keep me on focus, Chris.
Okay, stay focused. Let's talk about Hard Knocks. That's been be bouncing around a little bit in some of
I really hope
cortex.
I really hope that happens.
I do too. I do too. I used to not, but after the run in with security this year about trying to tweet during the training camp
about that.
Yeah, I'm still frustrated. That was really
funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. It was everybody else.
I laughed from the media tower at you.
While me and Math Bomb together, right? And then he's like, I can't text now because you're getting yelled at. I'm like, that's so stupid. Anyway, so yeah, I would love to have Hard Knocks there. I would love it. I think now's a good time. Let's face it. If this is going to be a bad year, we're going to get a lot of entertainment out of Hard Knocks, and it's going to give us a heck of a lot to talk about throughout the season, right? And if it's a good year, it's still going to be entertaining to see
behind the scenes. If you don't like Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, you absolutely want the team on Hard Knocks because it is going to give you enough fodder to hang them with later.
Yep.
It's going to happen in Oakland with Gruden and his crew. It happened with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley and Greg Williams in Cleveland. It happened to Jeff Fisher and Greg Williams in Los Angeles. It is going to expose the warts out there. And if things go south, everybody's going to point, we've all seen it now. It's not just those guys, the evil media making stuff up. We've all seen this.
Right.
That's Hard Knocks is fan. If you hate Patricia, if you don't want them to succeed, or let me put it this way, if you want change, you want Hard Knocks desperately.
Yep. And Detroit presents one heck of a place for them to come for a compelling story.
And right? they are running out of places that can turn them down.
All right, so he's got that. And then there's also eligibility for coaching in
the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and you are scheduled for the Senior Bowl again. I'm waiting for my
credential. I will be there. I have booked everything. I will be staying down there again, be down there for the full week. Oof. I am looking forward to seeing the Detroit Lions coach it, and there's a very good chance if the Miami Dolphins win one of their two remaining games and the Lions lose, the Lions are almost guaranteed to be coaching in the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Because Washington won't be because they're getting a new coach. The criteria is if you have a new head coach or a new general manager, you cannot coach the Senior Bowl. So Washington's out. Cincinnati, they've done it several times. Mm-hmm. I think there might be some reluctance on their part. They can refuse it.
Yeah.
And having the number one pick, most years the team that picks number one doesn't wind up there. The Giants could be making changes. I know Giants fans who follow along would love to see some changes. They don't like Pat Shurmur. They don't like their organization. Gentlemen. he's been a train wreck, dude. Yeah. I like that. I liked it coming back too. It just didn't work.
No,
really, that really didn't work.
Right combo.
You can't go home again.
but that'll be interesting.
So you're looking at, and the Senior Bowl, that would be a phenomenal opportunity because that, from a personal experience, that's where I got to know Jim Schwartz, because my phone had a Megadeth ringtone, and he's like, "Don't answer the phone, dude." And I wound up parlaying that. My ringtone was Sweating Bullets.
Nice.
And I also did Hangar 18 for a bit too, as my ringtone. And I wound up talking to him from that, and got to know him from that. And I can tell you that they learned a lot about the players there, but not just from coaching the players. When you are there, all the agents are there. All the college coaches are there. And you can talk to them about, hey, tell me about this guy. Hey, tell me about this guy. You're seeing all these guys in practice, what they do, their practice habits, their interpersonal skills, how they react
level to of effort, players. Right. I mean, yes, if you see a guy who has no low effort at the Senior Bowl, you know he's going to have low effort on the team when he's getting paid for it, right? He has not collected a check yet, and he's got low effort? No, thank you. Right, I mean, and that's what you're looking at, and that's the kind of thing you learn about those
guys. And those guys happen every year, believe it or not. We can name who they were last year because we were there.
Yeah,
even in just the 2 days of practice, they did.
Yeah,
there were a couple of guys that were like, "Oh, you don't want to be here."
So yeah, it looks like we're doing Senior Bowl this year again. I'll be there. Riz will be there. Maybe we'll do a couple live streams again. We'll see how it all plays out. We got to have a couple.
We got to do it from that daiquiri bar. That place was awesome.
That place was great. I got to tell you, I kept getting those cold headaches, but I couldn't stop, right?
Oh, man, it was good.
It was delicious.
The banana daiquiri and the pina colada put in the same 32-ounce frozen glass.
The Superman. It was Everclear.
it was Everclear. Yeah. Everclear and like blue Curacao and weird stuff.
Yummy.
Okay. George Foster just casually walked by, tipped his hat to us.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What's up? Crazy. Yeah, Senior Bowl is a great time. If you guys get a chance, I definitely recommend going down there. We're going to do our best.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with that. So that would be great. It would be awesome if they got the Senior Bowl and Hard Knocks. That would make me extraordinarily happy.
Yeah. Question, breaking news right now. Carter's on there. He's wondering, Riz, did you lose your daughter's headphones and have to buy a white pair, or what's going on?
So the red pair is mine, believe it or not. These are, in fact, my daughter's. Thank you very much.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to touch on something really quick. It was in the subreddit, and it's important for people to hear, especially in the grumbling that's going on, right? There's a lot of things and a lot of reasons why the team is where they're at. So I'm gonna read through this relatively quickly, but I'd love to hear your reaction, Riz. It's the 9-7 isn't good enough, or how to remove context and meaning to reinforce an opinion. Posted in the Reddit by Full Metal Savage and FMS. I give you a ton of credit for this. This is well written, well done. I hear and see 9-7 isn't good enough being thrown by a lot of critics at Bob Quinn. The statement's been used as a mantra by Lions fans whose feelings are hurt when directing their anger at Bob Quinn. I wouldn't normally give an S if it was being used in a truthful manner. However, too many people are not remembering or outright choosing to ignore what Quinn meant by this statement. Under Caldwell, we were 9-7 in each of the last two seasons as a head coach, and hot damn, two winning records, not bad, right? Wrong. Lions were 1-12 against playoff teams in those years. They beat a lot of bad to mediocre teams to fatten the record. Barely in a lot of cases, if you remember all the fourth quarter comebacks. Those are teams with winning records, but not teams that were going to win anything meaningful. Now, to summarize this history lesson and correct knowledge of fans here, I will tell you what Bob Quinn said in context. Quinn felt that the talent they had the team at the time was better than 9-7. They should have beaten better teams. It wasn't simply 9-7 wasn't good enough. It was they're not being utilized to their maximum. Quinn felt that no matter how much talent they had, Caldwell wasn't going to be the coach to bring them over the hump. So the decision was made to let Caldwell go and bring in a coach that would build a championship team. I'm sure Quinn is pissed at the current record, and he may feel regret on the Patricia hire in hindsight. But remember that Quinn took a gamble with the future of his job when he fired a winning coach in order for the Lions organization to aspire to something better. However, don't think I'm some nut hugger. 10-6 or hit the bricks is my mantra for 2020.
I like that.
That was a great post. The subreddit's been pretty toxic. When things go like that with the team now, it gets pretty crazy and out of control. It's an emotional swing state, right? That's what the Reddit is. It is the id on display.
It's like that for, you know, whenever I write something, the comments are primarily negative and they're not always related to what we've written. Any of us who are covering the team right now. And I get it. I get that people are angry. I'm angry too. I've been a Lions fan for a long time. I want to see wins, and we're not getting it, and we're not really close, and that's very frustrating. The 9-7 thing, I agreed with the decision to let Jim Caldwell go, and you have the audio evidence that I defended Jim Caldwell quite a bit, too.
Oh, do I have it here? I don't think I have it. I'm sorry.
More than most people, I gave Jim Caldwell credit. I think the revisionist history that has gone on about his coaching and methods and how effective he was is embarrassing, quite frankly, to somebody who has been through it. The way that he is now remembered versus how he was treated at the end, how much people freaking hated him. How much they lobbed criticism, how much they blamed him that they should have been winning all those games that Stafford was doing. He had the 8 comeback wins the year that they won 10 games or 9 games. Eight of those were comeback wins. A lot of people blamed Caldwell. Why aren't we winning these games more? Why are we having all these comebacks? Because Caldwell doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He can't manage the clock. He can't keep 10 people on the field. His special teams are awful. Player development stalled under him, except at very specific positions where he had good position coaches. He was not a good coach.
No.
I think that gets forgotten.
Yeah.
And I supported the decision to fire him and move on. I was never a big Matt Patricia fan. As you know, I want a Mike Vrabel.
And Ryan is adding in there, he wouldn't fire Ron Prince. Which is a great point, right?
Yes.
He rode Prince to his own grave.
Ron Prince, by the way, is the reason why Larry Warford left. He said, "You're either if he's here, I ain't."
Right.
And that's a direct quote.
Yep.
And he didn't do that. Martha had to make him fire Joe Lombardi. Yep. Remember that?
Yeah.
They went on by, and he's like, hey, "We're not paying for that bum's plane ticket to London. He's staying here.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you can stay too." That was that was Martha.
Yeah, yeah. She's a great lady. She's a great lady. Yeah. No. You're
that bothers
right.
me. So in terms of the whole, are they better positioned? And this is something that Big Drew McCarthy from the Big Drew and Jim show.
He's not so big anymore.
No, he's not. He's smaller than me now, which is kind of sad on my part.
Big Riz. Big Riz coming through.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry. Yes. I had to find an excuse.
He says all the time, and he reads off the people who were on that team. Emmett Cleary started on that offensive line. Akeem Spence was a starting defensive tackle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's shocking that team, in retrospect, got the 9 wins with the coaching that they had. That tells you how freaking amazing Matthew Stafford was.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
That he elevated that roster. Amir Abdullah and Teon Green were your starting running backs that year. They got to 9 wins with that. That is Stafford, and that was Darius Slay coming into his own. That was really fortuitous.
And you talk about
it was not something that you could sustain. They had to upgrade significantly at several positions. And you know what? They've done that. Not playing like it, but they've done that.
But you talk about those 9 wins being on slim, slim margins, end of the game heroics, the comebacks, the whole thing. The majority of the games we've had this year that have been losses, except the Bucks. I mean, we had nobody in half of our starting roster.
The last two games have been awful.
Other than the Minnesota games.
Yeah.
We've been in every single game. It's a small margin of change, right? And it's a huge systemic change. We'll see what happens next year. We'll see what happens. I'm all for it, right? I am either you play or you pay. That's it next year in 2020. But I'm not for throwing these guys out because I need to see this Patricia experiment and Quinn experiment come through to fruition. I am not going to cut it off early. Look, the other side of we've lost forever. One more year. I'm willing to take the gamble because we bet on something that's a long-term commitment, I think. And besides the reasons we talked about earlier, that's the reasons to keep those guys along. So, all right. I don't think this is – we got 2 more topics here. Okay, Pro Bowl. All right. Pro Bowl.
Let's get them done quick.
Okay, Pro Bowl. I'm tired. Slay is in. Slay is in the Pro Bowl. Staff, Galladay, and Ragnow are out.
Ragnow surprises me that he didn't make it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to guess that Travis Frederick made it. And he probably shouldn't because he's had a shit year for Dallas. I'm guessing that the entire Dallas line probably made it, even though they're not playing very well.
They're not what they used to be this year, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's the other NFC center? Do you know?
I don't. I actually got the news right before we went on, and I was getting everything set up to go, so I didn't see who else it was. It's breaking news, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Ragnow is one of the 2 best centers in the NFC. I don't have a problem saying that. He belonged there in the Pro Bowl. The way that he's done it
draft.
with the rotating guards next to him, an experiment that has finally ended now that Kenny Wiggins is hurt.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're looking for something gross to go to bed to, Kenny Wiggins described what he did in surgery. You don't want to see it if you're squeamish. They didn't show the surgery, but he described what happened.
Very clear.
It's nightmare fuel. They did not help Ragnow in any way, and he still had a phenomenal year. Yeah. Whether you buy into Pro Football Focus or not, he's their number one center in the NFC, and he has earned it. If you watch the games and watch the line play, he's been great. He's great at center, and it's disappointing that he did not make it.
So
Slay is the only Lion who made it, and he's having arguably his worst year since his rookie year. I won't even say arguably. It's been his worst year since his rookie year.
Congratulations to Slay, right? Absolutely, yes, for making it.
And I think he gets $50,000 for that, which is that doesn't hurt.
It's a new ring for Mrs. Slay.
I am not. They're a fun couple.
They are awesome. I wish I lived that life. They just look like they always are having fun.
They enjoy life. They are living life, and I appreciate that.
I need to learn how to let go and be able to enjoy life like that. I mean, I have the money to do it, but the attitude is what it's all about. And that guy and his wife just have the best attitude towards life, man. It's amazing.
And you know, I'm not going to say that that Slay isn't deserving, because obviously he got there. He's not had a good year, and that should tell you what his reputation is around the league. Like, okay, that guy's really good, because he's playing like crap for several games this year, and he's still making it on reputation.
Yep.
That tells you how good he is.
And that's the key point on this for the guys that are snubbed. It is very much a popularity contest. It is a lot about reputation. It is a lot about time in the league. Galladay getting in there. I don't think Galladay is a snub. I just don't think that Galladay is well liked. An alternate, he'll probably play though, because the guys won't be there. He'll wind up being there and getting in. But yeah. I love Galladay.
I would assume he will be an alternate. He's not better than Michael Thomas. He's not better than Julio Jones. I'm trying to think of who other in the NFC made it. I don't even know.
He's great. He's a lot of fun. I'm glad he's on our team. He's just not.
He leads not the
elite. You know what I mean?
He leads the NFL in touchdowns. He is third, I want to say, in yards, and he's eighth in receptions or something like that. He's having a very good year.
Yeah.
And he probably should be an alternate, and I would hope that he makes it in, but he is not to that level yet.
Yep.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
His ability to continue to make plays despite the fact that he gets the lowest separation of any wide receiver in the league, that's still true.
It's a big thing.
Still that good. That says a lot about Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, for sure. And it says a lot about Matthew Stafford, too, being able to put that ball.
I will say this. It says a lot about David Blau, because when Driscoll came in, Galladay was invisible.
Yeah.
When Blau came in, Blau's not afraid to
put that ball in there.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, he doesn't have the arm strength. You can just see the difference between a Stafford throw and a Blau throw. You know,
you really can, but Blau, God bless him, man. He's trying. Bless your heart.
Yeah, bless his heart. All right. Last, really quick, talk about it's that time of year. Don't forget to get all your gear. And where do you want to get your gear? By Fanatics. It's all of the original, the real stuff. It's what you see at the NFL shop, the NHL stuff. It's all, you know, a Fanatics store, all that. But do it this way. Right, you don't want to pay those rich son of bitches all that money. You want to go ahead and hook up at fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Use that to go there. You can get all of your sports gear, memorabilia, you name it. I mean, cards, blankets, jerseys, hats, everything you want from any college, any pro team, and any sport is all there. And by doing it that way, you get a little cookie in your browser. They give us a kickback, and you wind up helping the podcast. You're going to do it anyway, so head on over. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get all your sports gear and memorabilia and help out the show, and quit putting all that money into the man's pocket. Share some with your friends here at the Detroit Lions Podcast. All right, last big topic here, a look ahead to the Broncos. I think the devastating offense of the Broncos is the biggest thing we have to watch for. Top quarterback in the league. This is a dangerous game for this Lions defense. Riz, do you concur?
So they decided a couple of weeks ago that they were going to see what they've got in Drew Lock. Mixed results so far. Von Miller, if you're paying any attention to what's going on around the league, his post-game press conference, he essentially said, get the fuck out of here, because this team sucks. I hate the coach. Come get me. It's not getting the it's interesting to me covering Odell Beckham Jr. that he gets all the run for that. Von Miller came out and literally said it to the media, not to other teams, and people are ignoring it. I digress.
Do you think Quinn would go after something like that?
What's that?
Do you think Quinn would go after something like that? Is that something that we got cap? I mean, we got a lot of cap room, and that's the kind of player that you build.
It is worth calling Denver to see what they want, because Von Miller is freaking stud, and he is perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect for what the Lions need. They need a guy who can win on his own, one on one, pass rush without a lot of help. There's not many guys that can do it. You saw what Khalil Mack, who can do that, did to the Chicago defense.
Yep.
Imagine trying to block Von Miller lined up outside Trey Flowers. And we've all given Trey Flowers a lot of shit for how poorly he started.
He's come along.
Last 8 weeks, there's not many defensive players who've been better at any position around the league. It's not translating into wins, and I get that. Mm-hmm. He has shown why they wanted him.
And I still like the Ashon and Snacks package in the middle, too. I mean,
if they're healthy.
Yeah. But that's a fearsome foursome right there.
Yeah. I like it. I want it.
Okay. Sorry.
I want that.
Von can farm.
Yeah, so Denver should win this game because they have fewer awful players playing right now. And a lot of that is because of the injuries. I'm not going to lie. I can't name you all 22 starting Lions right now. I'd give anybody a cookie who can, because with all the injuries, there's so much trouble. I don't know if Bo Scarborough is going to play. I don't know who's going to be playing wide receiver. Chris Lacy. Beyond that, I don't know who's your starting left guard now that Kenny Wiggins is out. Is Odey Abushi going to play? Is Ben Shawell going to play? Are they going to shut somebody else down this week? Who's going to get hurt in the walkthrough? Because that seems to keep happening. Guys are getting freaking hurt in walkthroughs, Chris. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Maybe we shouldn't have upgraded the weight room.
it's been a long, long year. I expect Denver to win by probably 10 points because Courtland Sutton is playing like a mother. Noah Fant is having a very good end to his season. Drew Lock being able to throw the ball down the field with some degree of confidence instead of Joe Flacco just turning his back and throwing it has helped them a lot. They are trying to desperately to make Locke into their starting quarterback. There's a lot of motivation behind them to do that and help them win. The players seem to like him, and I think that gives them enough motivation that they will win. Okay. I don't necessarily think that they are a better team. They are certainly not a better team in the long haul. I think they are mired in last or second to last place in that division for a while based on where they are. But they will win this game.
Yeah. All right.
And that's good for the Lions, so we can get the number two pick. Root for the Dolphins this weekend, by the way. You want the Dolphins more than any of the other teams that are in that range. You want the Dolphins out of the way because that clears Hard Knocks and that clears the Senior Bowl.
What are, and this will be the last question, and I'm wearing you down here. I know I am, but besides a loss, what are we looking for from the Lions? What do we, when we watch it for, I'm going to watch the game, and everybody's going to watch, not everybody, but a lot of people are going to watch the game at least.
Yeah.
What are we actually looking for? We're not looking for a win here. What do we want to see on the field from our Lions in this loss?
I want to see, and I always go back to this. And I don't know if everybody will remember this when Earl Bruce was fired from Ohio State, they fired him before their bowl game. And it's known in Ohio State lore as the fedora game because he came out wearing a suit with a bitchin' ass fedora. And they blew the crap out of Texas A&M. And that was an underachieving Ohio State team. They had a lot of talent. I actually think Chris Spielman was on that team.
Yeah.
Now that I think back to it. And they underachieved and they came out in the end and he pulled out all the stops and they absolutely destroyed a good Texas A&M team. That's what I want to see. I want to see, we're going down. Let's throw all these deck chairs off. Titanic. Let's not rearrange them. Let's throw them off. Let's go down swinging.
I like that.
I want to see more blitzes. I would love to see a zero coverage blitz just once, even though I hate those in principle.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I don't want to see.
Could we actually get to the quarterback?
I don't want to see what Greg Williams did the other night in New York with a blitz. They rushed nine, Chris. Lamar Jackson stood for 1 second, took off down the field for 48 yards, wasn't touched. I want to see some level of aggression. I want Patricia to acknowledge that the passive shit ain't working.
Yeah.
That's my number one thing that I want to see on defense. Offensively, I want to evaluate Blau. I want to evaluate the linebackers. I want to get some young linemen in there to see if they can be reserves going forward. That's what I'm looking for. And I pray to God that nobody else gets hurt.
That's exactly right. I think get rid of the read, let them react. Right. Yep. Just let them play and let's see what we got. Yep. What's the natural ability of these guys? And if they have a natural ability to flow to the right spot, then you can start teaching them read. But if they can't even do that, right, then you know what you have and you can deal with
it. I don't want to see three linebackers attacking the same hole when the running back has already bounced to the hole to the left of it.
Right.
Jared Davis, Christian Jones.
Well, you got Jared Davis's finishing move, right, which is flying past the guy with the ball.
Well, he's on IR now, so we won't have that to worry about anymore.
And credit Perrier Poppy on that finishing move. No.
What are you drinking? A Truly?
Yes, I am. I'm
good for you.
I'm working. They're not bad. And the one thing that I'll tell you about it is, look, I love beer. You know, I love beer. I love yes, some pretty crazy beers. This is on like work nights.
Yeah,
I'm drinking water. Where beer, you wind up and you get a little bit of hangover if you had a couple too many. You feel like, oof, you know, got to shake it off with some Motrin. You're hydrating the shit out of yourself while you're drinking this. It's okay. I'll go for it. It's right. Look, it's not preferred, but it works.
I drank a Founders KBS espresso variant tonight. It was heavenly. By the way, if you ever get one, it's really, really good if you mix it in a blender with vanilla ice cream. Ooh.
I will. We talked about it in the Slack. If you guys can find Andex, ANDECHS, Hefeweizen, get yourself some. Ooh, and send some to me. That is literally the best beer in the world. It's a regional sale. I've found that they've just started importing it. I think there's a spot way down by where the Shrine Game is where I can get some. So I'm going to check that. But it's really, I have never found it inside the U.S. It's always been right at the Kloster Andex's abbey in Germany.
Can I go beer nerd for a quick second?
Yeah,
most Hefeweizens have a banana-y kick to them. Is that a banana-y one?
It is. Yes, but there's a big difference between Bavarian Hef and American Hef. American Hef, I don't like it. There's not a single brewery in the U.S. that makes a good Hef, in my opinion. And I know a lot of people like them, so don't take it wrong. But the banana is pretty prevalent in a half. That's a good one. A little bit of orange. It's like a little flowery, a little nectar. The top ones, I would say, you know, you got Weinstephaner, you've got Andex is the very, very best. Hackershore is pretty good. Polliner is pretty good. Francis Connor, is what I would say is the second one, the big fat monk on the front. Oh, yeah, that's a really good beer. I could drink that by the gallon.
There's a place in St. Petersburg that has that. There's a beer bar downtown.
Please, really we got to figure this out on the Shrine Game, buddy. I'm going to stay in St. Pete instead of you coming up here this time.
we need to stop talking beer because we could do a special podcast on our beer drinking.
We will. And we'll talk more later with everyone about this. All right, look, we need your involvement. We're going to do it. It's live. That'll do it for this week. Remember, the show needs your involvement. There, that's what I meant to say. Those are the words in a different order.
Good job.
Use the comments and subreddit to give us your fun feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. We appreciate that. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast lets us do this stuff and makes it great. And it keeps Riz attentive at such a late hour doing this.
It live. Really does. Because I this is what time is it? It's 10:30. Oh, God. I usually go to bed by like 9:50.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's get you out of here. Facebook, Instagram, all those places. On Twitter, DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see the Riz.
Oh my goodness.
Did we just get demonetized? What happened? Give us a call via Skype.
And I am pasty.
For the folks that are listening to this on the audio, you have to come to YouTube and see what just happened. call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. Call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we can show up in your ear holes automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time.